2019 to sing songs and to read historical accounts from the scriptures about someone who lived and died 2,000 years ago. Someone who lived in an utterly different world to the one that we see around us. Why is it that we have buildings like this and communities like those that come and assemble in buildings like this over centuries, over millennia? There's got to be something more to this than just another end-of-year tradition, part of Christmas cheer, part of underscoring our love of peace and joy and family and celebration. And I want to put it to you that what we've seen in all of these passages and songs is the coming of a true, real and mighty king, ruler of a real kingdom. You think about what we've read in some of these passages. We read about Joseph and Mary having to go to Bethlehem in the time of the Emperor Augustus, when Quirinius was governor of Syria, when Herod was king in Jerusalem. These are real events. These are real people. This is like writing the date on the top of your page. This is not a mere story. This is about a real place and real events. And the writers of these accounts are not simply giving us a lovely story to cheer our way into the new year, but are setting it in time and space in a province called Judea, in the what we now call the first century AD, the place where Jesus was born. And we see more to it than that as well, don't we? That those who looked forward to his coming were looking for a real king. Isaiah just wasn't looking for some empty hope. He knew that a true king of Israel was coming. And that's what Micah was looking for as well. One that would be shepherd over the people of God. One that would give them the kingdom again. And we know it was a real kingdom too, don't we? Because look how Herod reacts when he hears news from the wise men of the east coming to say that a king is to be born in Bethlehem. He's terrified. He's confused. He's shocked. He's angry. And immediately he starts to scheme. This is real politics, isn't it? This is real power at work. And you know, it ends up, doesn't it, in that shocking story that we always leave out of our Christmas celebrations, when he drowned Bethlehem in blood because he wanted to wipe out any possibility of a king, a real king, coming from Bethlehem. This is a real king who received real gifts, myrrh, gold and frankincense, from men of the east. And songs were sung, just like we've sung tonight, in his honour, by the angels in heaven. This is not just a Yuletide tale. This is a story about a real king. But then we think about these passages further, and we see in them, don't we, that yes, he's a real king over a real kingdom, but it's a kingdom like no other in the world. It's a kingdom like no other. Think about how he comes. He comes with heralds in front of him, ambassadors to prepare his way. And who do they come to? They come to a young, unmarried woman in Judea. They come to shepherds, the most despised class of farm workers, out in the wilderness and out in the fields around Bethlehem. And you think about the song that Mary sings when she knows that she is to be the mother of the King of Israel. It's this amazing song, isn't it? It's not the sort of songs that kings normally like. You think back there, it's in the reading from Luke. All nations will call me, all generations will call me blessed. He's shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud. He's put down the mighty from their thrones. He's raised up the lowly. He's filled the hungry. He sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. This is a king who turns everything upside down from the way that the world works. This is a king who is stronger than Herod, but not with the violence of Herod. This is a king who comes stronger and richer in heavenly glories than any king on earth. Yet he comes for the lowly. He comes for the forgotten. He comes for those on the margins. This is the true king, but his kingdom is unlike any other. And it comes mysteriously, as we see in a number of these passages here, through the power of the Holy Spirit. You may, those of you who know your Bibles well, will know that right at the start, when God made the world, the Holy Spirit was over the waters. The Holy Spirit was part of creation, bringing it into being. And here he is again, in the womb of a virgin. In the womb of a virgin, he comes now and brings the most amazing new creation. The Son of Man come amongst us, the Word in flesh. The Holy Spirit here is creating again. And what he is creating will be an eternal kingdom under an eternal king who will reign forever. Because when we're talking about a king over a kingdom like no other, we're talking about a very special king, aren't we? We're talking here about God the King. And that is where any idea we might have of just making Christmas about the cards and the presents and about the good times with family, is those things are so wonderful. But when we come face to face with the events that we are celebrating here, we're talking about God the King amongst us. That's what that last passage talks about, doesn't it? The Word was made flesh and he dwelled among us and we looked at him and we saw the glory of Herod? No. The glory of Augustus Caesar? No. The glory of the great presidents and kings of this age? No. The glory of the only Son of the Father, filled with grace and truth. That's what we saw. And then John further says in that last reading we had that the Word, meaning Jesus, was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. And when we're talking about this beginning here, we're talking about the beginning of beginnings. Before all beginnings, the Word was God. And yet he came and was born of a woman in Bethlehem. And wise men worshipped him and shepherds attended him and witnessed to him. Here, the eternal Word living among us. Now, when you're talking about a king like that, it's no longer about whether you're a citizen of a particular country or not. It's no longer just about what taxes you owe him. It's no longer about whether he runs the economy well. If this is a king who comes from before all kings, who comes from before all beginnings, then he is a king who will be here at the end of all things, when all the kings and rulers of this world are no more. He will still be king. He will still be Lord. And what does he then bring to us as this great king? Well, these passages talk about that too, don't they? This great king, Jesus, is the one that will save us from our sins. You know, when we want a king of this world, we think of just one over a particular nation in a particular area, dealing with others, dealing with the things of this life. But when we're talking about a king who is God, then he's going to deal with us right down in the very depths of who we are. And that's where we come to the whole problem of what we call sin. And when we're talking about sin, we're not just talking about breaking the laws of the land. We're not just talking about particular problems in our life. We're talking about a whole nature and a whole darkness in the world and in us that is completely opposed to God. That it is enemies with God. And yet God, despite all that, would send his son in the flesh, not just to be on a Christmas card, but really to suffer like us and to live like us and to teach us. He would send him to come and save us from our sins. There can't be anything more important than that. There can't be any identity that you may have that is bigger than that. In the beginning was the Word. He was before anything that you think is the most important thing about you. He is before all the trials that you may have had in your life. He is before all the triumphs you may have had in your life. He is before all those things, and he will continue after all those things. And he is the one who comes to you and says, your deepest problem is your sin. And I am here to save you from your deepest problem. And I am the Lord of all things. I am before all beginnings. I am after all ends. And I am the one who has come to save you. And that is how he is the true king. May God bless us all richly this Christmas time. And may we all rejoice in our Saviour, who is the true and righteous and most wonderful King. God bless you all.